It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. George Niang played basketball for the Iowa State University Cyclones from 2012 to 2016. He was a big part of the resurgence of Hilton Magic under the leadership of legendary Cyclone player and coach Fred Hoiberg. He considered leaving for the NBA in 2015, but stuck around for an extraordinary senior season, and now he's in Indiana. He was picked in the second round of the NBA draft, number 50 overall, by the Indiana Pacers. He's played 21 games for the Pacers this year and been back and forth between the Pacers and their affiliate team, the Fort Wayne Mad Ants. Getting picked in the NBA draft is the dream of so many young men as they play ball in high school and college. And now that Niang is living the reality of that dream, we've asked him to talk with us about what it's really like. And George, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me.
No, thank you so much for having me on. This is great. I'm excited to be here.
Well, let's go back in time to what may seem like a distant memory at this point. Getting picked in the NBA draft, I mean, what is that day like for you as you wait to see what your future holds?
I've told so many people this. It's like the best, worst day ever. You know, you wake up and, you know, this is a day that, you know, is going to be life-changing. But also, it seems like the longest one. It felt like from 8 o'clock in the morning till 12 or 11 o'clock at night when I heard my name felt like 46 hours rather than just a little bit more than 14 or 15 hours. So it was a long day and a long process, but, you know, it just goes to show that great things just come to people who just, you know, work hard. And I feel like that's what I've done, you know, my whole life. You know, when I first picked up a basketball, obviously I dreamed about playing in the NBA, but my next goal wasn't just to be an eight-year-old saying, you know, my next step is playing in the NBA. Obviously, I had a goal to play at a good high school, win a championship there, and then go on from there to play in college. And then obviously from college, your next goal would be to play in the NBA. So I think where people get mistaken is, you know, looking too far ahead. You got to take things in small doses and really just focus on the task at hand rather than trying to look too far ahead.
So once you did get picked by the Pacers and started getting involved with the team, what's that process like? Because, you know, obviously it's not a clear step from getting picked for the team to being a superstar on the court.
Yeah, really, you know, it really is. There's so much to learn in the NBA game. So I wanted to come in and be a sponge and just really be aware and learn and show them that I'm willing to come there, work hard, and be a professional. You know, what people forget, you know, it is basketball, it is something fun, but this is your job now. How everybody wakes up and goes and works, this is my work. So you have to take it seriously, treat your body right, just like anybody would treat their job. There's a level of seriousness that needs to go in it. And I think that's really what I wanted to show and really what I did, and I think that helped me be a part of the organization.
Well, and of course, when you're playing college ball, you're also a student, so you're dividing your attention, as difficult as that can be at times. How is NBA ball, professional ball, different? Because as you said, this is your job. This is your primary focus.
Yeah, no, it's a lot different. You know, there's only a certain amount of hours that you can work out physically, but you know, the times that you usually spend time studying or doing some of your schoolwork in college is times you have to be studying the game and trying to learn as much about the teams that you're playing, the players that you're playing against, or whether that's taking care of your body, getting massages, getting extra treatment. So, you know, the amount of hours that, you know, you put in college studying, those just go to a different task now, whether that's taking care of your body or watching game film. You know, it's like I said, your body is helping you do your job, so you need to do a good job of taking care of that. So, I mean, as a rookie, you know, you have to learn some things the hard way, and, you know, that's one of those things. You have to have great time management, and I'm lucky enough to have good veterans around here that have taught me that.
In your rookie diary, a video diary that you put up online, one of the scenes that you gave us a little glimpse of was a social media class that you were taking. Are there classes? I mean, what is the training like for rookies in the NBA, or maybe it's for the whole team as well, about who you are when you're not on the court?
Yeah, you know, the NBA does a great job of setting up, you know, different types of meetings, whether we're at home or in different cities, you know, just to keep us aware of what's going on and help us build our brand and help us, you know, look the best to the outside world. You know, it's a business now, so, you know, they don't want to have people in their business representing them in a poor way, so they want to educate on us from right from wrong. And the Pacers are a first-class organization, and they do the same thing. I think what was going on with social media, I think someone had just gotten in trouble for tweeting something out, so the Pacers organization wanted to make us aware about how Snapchat, Instagram, and Twitter can get you in trouble and how to stay away from that. And so that was just before a class, and I think it was with Big Al Jefferson. I was recording him, and he doesn't even have social media, but all those guys sit in on that and encourage the young guys to really become aware of how social media can affect you positively and negatively.
Now, I follow you on Twitter. That seems to be a tool that you really enjoy using. What do you see as your goal through your Twitter account? Because I'm sure you do have to be careful.
Yeah, you know, I just try to use it as a motivational tool for, you know, myself and other people that are following me. You know, just to put a positive outlook on everything that happens to you. You know, my journey is one of many journeys that go on in a day-to-day life. And, you know, if I can help someone with their journey through my journey, then I feel like that's somewhat of a success for me. You know, I was lucky to have people around me that motivated me and guide me in the right direction. And if I can do the same through social media, then I feel like that's a plus of me using the internet to help me and other people.
You seem to really try to spread positivity. Maybe that sounds a little silly, but you really seem to have a tremendous outlook, and it seems like you want to share that with other people.
Yeah, no, I'm a big person. I'm a big believer in, you know, staying positive, and great things happen, you know, to people that continuously work hard and stay positive and seize opportunities.
Now, looking around at some of the video of you from your first year with the Pacers, I mentioned that video diary, which showed you buying donuts for the team as you leave for a trip. There's also a video of you dressed up as a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle and dancing on the basketball court. So as a rookie, I'm not going to quite call that rookie hazing, although that's a term that people have used, but there seems to be a fair amount of teasing, at least, that goes on.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it teasing. You know, those guys take really good care of me when nobody's looking. But obviously, you know, every rookie has rookie duties. That's what they call them, not hazing, rookie duties. So, you know, the rookie duties weren't going to skip over me in line. So, you know, I have to do them. It's what all rookies have to do. But I for sure look forward to when I have my rookie and I can make him do some of his duties.
It also seems like you spend quite a bit of time engaged in promotional activities. How much of your time is taken up by that?
You know, I'm not going to say it takes up too much of my time, but obviously I put a lot of time into doing that stuff, getting out in the community and, you know, making people aware that, you know, I care about the communities that I'm in or that I have been in. And I like to you know, just spread positive words when I'm out doing promotional activities. And then the rest falls hand in hand. There's a ton of stuff you can do through social media where, you know, brands send you stuff, and I'm very appreciative of that. And I let them know through, you know, handwritten letters and posts on Instagram or Twitter, just getting their name out there and telling them I appreciate them. But like I said, going back to communities that I've been in, you know, I just really want to give back. And, you know, I feel like I've done that a pretty decent job at that, but I want to do more. Even, you know, this summer I'm going to host my second annual basketball camp with Lindsey Fenley in Ames, Iowa. And, you know, we're also talking about doing a golf outing that, you know, is going to be for Habitat for Humanity, where we're going to help the family in Ames, and all the proceeds and funds will go to building that family a house. So, you know, I really just want a positive outlook on all the places that I've been, because, you know, the communities that I've been have done so much for me and have made my journey so special.
How much control do you have over the organizations you can get involved with at this point? Is that something where you have to go through the Pacers when you decide you want to do something like that?
You know, I have complete control over that. And sometimes the organizations that I go through are through the Pacers, and some of them are just ones that, you know, I've reached out to and done my research and felt that that was the best fit for me, and felt like I wanted to reach out and help them. But that being said, you know, the Pacers have a bunch of organizations that they're partnered with, and usually when I'm in Indiana, I go through them.
Now that basketball is your job, what's a day in the life like? What do you do?
A day in the life, it varies depending on whether it's a game day or a practice, but I could give you a rundown on both. If we were to have a practice and then an away game, I usually wake up, you know, around 8:30, 9, go to the a specific bakery to grab donuts for the guys, then head over to practice, get a pre-practice lift and shooting in, which probably takes about an hour and a half to 2 hours, and then I'll practice for an hour, hour and a half, shower up, head over to the plane, and fly out to a city, depending how far it is. Get off. Also part of my rookie duties is to grab a couple guys' bags and bring them to their room. And then from there, you know, I'll usually just hang out, maybe nap, or go down to the gym and get a little cardio in, and then head out to dinner with some of my teammates, come back, call my family members, and maybe watch some college basketball if the Cyclones are on TV, or NBA basketball, and then fall asleep, and the next day is game day. Like I said, with pre-practice shooting and lifting, that's all that stuff stays the same. If we don't have to travel, I'll probably stay after and shoot a little more after, you know, get a massage from our masseuse, and get some treatment on my body. And by then, it'll probably be 3-4 o'clock. I'll probably go grab some food. And then, you know, I come back home, and I've really gotten into, you know, some Netflix shows, and I'll watch that for a little bit and watch TV and really just relax.
This season, as I mentioned earlier, you've been kind of back and forth between the Pacers and one of their affiliate teams, the Mad Ants in Fort Wayne. And that's not unexpected. That's pretty normal in a rookie season. When that decision gets made, though, how do you feel?
You know, I take everything at this point, as you know, I'm trying to better myself. And if me being able to go down to their affiliate and to get more minutes and game reps and experience, you know, I feel like I'm getting better, and I'm going to take every opportunity to get better and seize that. You know, you can't look at stuff like that as a demotion. You have to look at it as a team is investing in you and trying to help you get better, and you have to put the manpower and man hours in to help yourself get better. At this point, you have to, you know, put a motivation behind everything, and my motivation is to get a little better each day and show them that I'm getting better each day.
Now, you clearly still follow Cyclone basketball, and I noticed that one of your teammates, when you're playing for the Mad Ants, is one of your former rivals from Iowa, from the University of Iowa, former Hawkeye Adam Woodbury. So playing against or playing with a former rival, what's that like?
It's pretty funny and a little different, but, you know, it's funny to say they just acquired another Hawkeye, Jared Utoff. So now I'm sort of feel like I'm surrounded by Hawkeyes.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a little different for sure. We definitely have some trash talking going on in practice and shoot arounds. But, you know, they're great guys. They're great people. That still doesn't stop me from talking trash and letting them know that Iowa State's the best university in the state for sure. But, you know, everything's friendly and fun. So it's they're good guys to be around, and I'm happy to have them as my teammates when I'm down in Fort Wayne.
Now, of course, your former coach Fred Hoiberg is also having his own growing pains coaching the Bulls, and you got to play when the Pacers played the Bulls, right?
Yes, I did get to play.
So what was that experience like?
It was really cool, you know, to be on the same court as someone that, you know, believed in you when you were a high school basketball player and helped me develop as a man and a basketball player. And, you know, I'm lucky to have a friendship and great relationship with Coach Hoiberg because he means so much to me. And I'm just thankful that, you know, I came across someone like him that gave me an opportunity to reach my fullest potential, you know, and it was great to see him, and I couldn't be more happy for him that he's, you know, fulfilling his dream of coaching in the NBA.
Now, you mentioned earlier that there's always some tough lessons that you have to learn when you're a rookie. What's the toughest lesson you think you've learned this year?
You know, I think the toughest lesson is, you know, you don't know it all. You know, a lot of guys coming in thinking that, you know, they know more than they know. And I think sometimes you have to take a deep breath and step back and be humbled. Coming to the NBA was definitely a humbling experience. There's so many great players out there, and it just makes you realize you have to work harder and harder each day to compete and be a good player in this league.
Do you think that if you had the chance to talk with, I don't know, 15-year-old George, what would you want him to know?
The biggest thing is, you know, always stay prepared. You know, I feel like great things, you know, happen randomly. But if you keep working hard and always preparing, you're going to be ready for those moments when they happen.
Well, George, thank you so much for talking with me.
No, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
George Niang, of course, a Cyclone superstar. He was drafted by the Indiana Pacers. We were talking about his first year in the NBA. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.